This is West Southwest on WMUK. I'm Earlene McMichael. Coming up, Rebecca Thiel discusses light pollution's bad health effects with senior editor of Sky and Telescope magazine, J. Kelly Beatty. But first, I talk with Tim Tarantine, one of Kalamazoo County's fastest rising young leaders, who was recently named Western Michigan University's Vice President of Development and Alumni Relations. At age 37, he's already been an executive director of a nonprofit organization and now a vice president for a second time. But in a candid interview, Tarantine shares how his many successes almost didn't happen, even once dropping out of college until mentors intervened. Let's start in the beginning, so to speak.
Yeah.
You went to Kalamazoo Central High School and...
Go Giants.
Hey, go Giants. Your first job was in the Kalamazoo Public Schools. You were a home support specialist at Indian Prairie Elementary School?
I was, with a wonderful principal named Karen Alessi. And she really taught me about how to be passionate and how to care about kids and how to go the extra mile.
The next program that you worked with dealt with youth as well. Retired Yankee shortstop Derek Jeter, he has a... The Turn 2 Foundation in town.
It sounds weird to hear you say retired.
I know,
Yankee.
I know.
That's
who wants
crazy.
To say retired? But he's
no,
retired.
No, he is. That's
retired
right.
And a married man now. You were on the ground floor of an initiative they had here in Kalamazoo. It was kind of an anti-peer pressure program that dealt with keeping kids off of alcohol and drugs. His father, Dr. Charles Jeter, is that
yes,
his name?
Correct.
Yeah, that he recruited you to be part of that.
Yeah, so that's an interesting story in my life. So Proud to Be Me is the name of the program. It still exists today, of which I'm proud to say, here in Michigan and in New York. And I believe they still do a Proud to Be Me in Tampa. I'm not certain. But I can say that that job and Dr. Jeter's influence was huge on me. Actually, we were just talking about it about a month ago when I saw him. He threatened to fire me. I had stopped going to school. I was partying and having all the fun I could. I was kind of giving up on myself academically. He told me he was going to fire me if I didn't go finish my degree. He told me very clearly that there was no demand for young African-American men running around with no education. And so the woman who was working with me, Tanya Torres, who was a Western student, said, hey, I got a class this summer. I think you'll like it. You should try to come to this class and get back into school. And sure enough, I was introduced that semester to human communication. Actually, the class was female-male communication, and I was introduced to Dr. Mark Orby, who became my mentor and an academic and spiritual father in a lot of ways here on campus, and that turned my life around. So Dr. Jeter and Proud to Be Me really did a lot to turn my life around and told me that I had to go aspire to higher.
What year were you in school when you had dropped out?
I was a sophomore. It took me 7 years to get done with undergrad. I took the long, long route. I was a three-time super senior. So kids who are struggling, listen to me, please. You can make it. Your life isn't how you start.
That's an incredible segue. You've come a far way. You've been very open about the fact that you, as a child, was born in a Saginaw hospital. And your mother had abandoned you there. 2 years later, Bonnie and Bob Tarantine adopted you.
Correct. You know, since that time, I've met my biological mother. I've met my entire biological family. And we have a good relationship. It took a lot of years and a lot of healing to get through those feelings of abandonment. And when I met her and understood the world that she was facing, I began to understand and have all kinds of compassion and love for her, and I love her dearly today. Unfortunately, my biological father, I met him, and he passed away a short time after we met. But that was a tough thing to grow up with. You know, when the only person in your life who's supposed to love you lets you go, and you carry that in your heart, you carry that in your being, you don't do a lot of things very well. Relationships aren't a thing you do well. You're kind and fun, and you're the guy everybody wants to be around, but inside you're just dying. And on the other side of that reality is the power of love and of mentorship and of leadership. I mean, Bob and Bonnie Tarantine took a chance on me. Nothing I have, I earned. Everything I have has been given to me. And through what's been given to me, I've tried to take advantage of those opportunities. But, Earlene, I'm a product of what Cory Booker calls a grand conspiracy of love. And I have no doubt that who I am today and where I am today is the product of a whole lot of people supporting and praying and helping me, because I didn't start on third base.
Tell me how that experience helped shape you in working with children, first as a home support specialist and then later with the Proud to Be Me after school program, and onward as being the executive director of the Douglas Community Association. How did that inform who you were and how you responded with people?
Yeah, I don't know that it just informed. I think it dictated how I behaved. And it's taken a long time to get some victory over some of those things. But, you know, when you have had so many people step in the gap on your behalf who don't have to, there is an overwhelming sense of indebtedness. But I don't take for granted for a moment that my heart was tuned towards service. There was a lot of pain that came with that. But, Erlene, the impact that that approach had in my life and on other people's lives, because I cared about people and I cared about kids who were left behind, I'm proud of what I've tried to do to help people along the way. And it was born out of a bad place, but thank goodness we've been able to flip that a bit.
There's any number of people that you call mentors, but another one that had a great impact actually on the entire community of Kalamazoo is Dr. Charles Warfield,
sure,
who used to head the NAACP and used to do any number of other things. How did you get a close association with him, and how did he affect your life?
Wow. The impact that Chuck has had on me, it's still overwhelming. I'm sitting here talking to you with tears welling up in my eyes now.
He passed earlier this year.
Right. And he came into my life. I can't even remember when I met him.
Were you
in college?
Like
I was in high school when
you
I
were
met
in high
him.
School.
But there was no moment, right? There was no big boom that went off. When I got through at high school, I knew the Warfields. I respected them. I was, you know, known by them. And then I got to Douglas, and, you know, Chuck really cared about the community, and he was one of the first people to call me and say, hey, you know, I heard you at Douglas. What can I do to help? Let me come over and talk to you. We talked, and he and Moses Walker really became my lifeline. And Chuck Warfield and I, as he aged and I came into myself and my career, you know, this year was not just a loss to the community. I lost arguably my closest friend.
Mm.
And we talked about everything. And to have a man in his late 70s who would sit down and tell you truth about life, who would allow you to speak freely, to say those things that you can't say to everybody. There are pressures with leadership, and particularly being an African-American in leadership, that you just can't talk about with everyone. And when things happened in my life that were significant, Chuck was the first phone call I'd make. And it's been rough, to be honest with you, since he's been gone. But I've realized now that it's my turn. And so I channel my inner Chuck Warfield on a regular basis here on campus, and I try to be fair with people. I try to stand up, as he would say, on the right side of things.
You went on from the Douglas Community Association to become a vice president at Southwest Michigan First.
Yeah.
That's a regional economic development organization that's based in Kalamazoo. It also does a lot of leadership training. What have you learned about leadership?
Well, I'd have to start at the definition that changed my life. So I had the opportunity, thanks to some very generous donors some time ago, as I was in between getting out of the Douglas Community Association, moving into the new port of call to Southwest Michigan First, I had the opportunity to go to Harvard University to the JFK School to learn about leadership. And I'll tell you, I learned through my experiences and through that definition that leadership is an activity. It's an activity that you exercise, and that is so important, because I didn't know that you didn't have to be in position, you didn't have to be male, white, and have money to lead. I thought leadership was reserved for a class of people. And it's about what you do with people that makes the difference. And then, and once I got that truth, I started to study, well, who are the people and leaders I admire? What are the leadership traits and activities that make me excited, that I say, wow, I want more of that in my world? They were always people who were doing the right thing with and by people. They were the type of people that people wanted to be around, who when they walked in the room, people actually wanted to engage them in a conversation, not hide in the corner when they walked in the room. We all have had leaders that are really smart, they're really strategic, they're really tactical, but when it comes to people, they absolutely miss it. And I have learned that I can't do anything. I mean, think about where I came from. I am nothing without other people. If we don't infuse a different approach to leadership that is built on what we do with and for each other, we're going to be stuck. And we're going to be stuck in a very dangerous place of individualism that doesn't care about what happens to you. That as we learn, there's some places in economic development, we used to talk about certain communities who would rather see their own children starve than the next community's children eat. That building walls, not bridges approach. That's what happens when leadership is about a protected class of people. That's what happens when leadership is only for the few. That's what happens when people don't feel inspired and empowered. They feel defensive. And if I'm defensive, then I'm warring against you. So I learned through business and economic development that leadership is about what you do to bring people together to change the condition. And that's it. It's really just that simple. Will you have the courage to act? Will you have the courage to act on behalf of what's good to bring people together? And will you be committed to leaving things better than you found them, leaving more than you found?
Any philosophies that you like to live by?
Yeah, I think Wes Moore, who I got to meet through Catalyst University and you know, South of Michigan First and Catalyst and the team there really prepared me. I mean, they did a great job of...
Well, that started about 6 years ago.
Yeah.
It provides about a day or day and a half of...
Leadership development. Yeah, it's coming up this January, and I'm actually speaking this year,
believe it or not.
Yeah, so I'm excited about that. But Wes Moore came to Catalyst, and Wes is a well-known author, and if you don't know his book, The Other Wes Moore is a outstanding book and story. But he's an African-American gentleman. He's got accolades too long to mention here. But he said something that just rocked my soul. He said that we are not products of our environment. We are products of our expectations. And I went, whoa. I mean, it knocked me out, because what that says to me is really my life story, that we're not necessarily how we got started. We're not even the environments we are in today. We are simply the products of what we expect from ourselves and of others. And having those expectations for ourselves, expecting better, expecting the world to get better, expecting our work to matter, just our expectations are everything. And I would just encourage our listeners today, no matter if you're a multimillionaire sitting on your boat listening to the interview, or you're a kid struggling trying to figure out who you are and where your next meal's going to come from, you are not your environment. You are not what happened to you. You have capacity to be everything you expect. And I don't care what the naysayers or people who haven't experienced that truth in their life say to you, I'm a witness that God and hard work and love can transform anything, because it has me.
We've been talking to Tim Tarentine, Western Michigan University's new Vice President for Development and Alumni Relations. For a longer version of this interview, go online to WMUK.org. For West Southwest on WMUK, I'm Earlene McMichael.